We are dismissing the children and nursery to go next door. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is an amazing morning, isn't it? It's November 1st, so that means the entire month is my birthday. Cindy, isn't that what you say, Cindy? The entire month is your birthday?
I don't know, but I like that.
You would like that. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So who knows my wife, Stephanie? You guys know my wife? Yeah, she's a pretty neat lady, right?
Yeah.
She's dangerous, man. She's dangerous. So about 6 years ago, I was preparing a message, and she said, well, what's your message about? And I started to tell her what my message was about. And this was like 2 hours before heading to church to preach it. And she says, I'm not really feeling it. So 6 years ago, I determined I am never going to tell my wife again what the message about ahead of time ever again. Until this morning, because she's doing children ministry. Hey, so what's your message about? So I start to tell her what my message is about, and she says, oh, so you're not going to say anything encouraging. So here's your encouragement. Jesus loves you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus loves you. Now, Facebook wasn't here for worship and everything, but I think that was some pretty good encouragement too, right? I mean, there was an actual point. Mike Whittem was up here, and I was next to him. And the violin, oh my gosh, man, the violin went off. And when the violin was going off, I was like being elevated, man. I was like, whoo, something was taking place, and it was cool. So Facebook, you guys got to get here, okay, because we're having some pretty cool encounters. But listen, I want to challenge you guys. The thing that took place today, these encounters, the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit, that can happen in your home, which we heard, right? Thank you so much, Brooke. I was hoping you were going to share that. It can happen at the workplace. It can happen any place you are, as long as your heart is open and obedient to experience those things. When I'm in the tree stand in the deer woods, man, I'm having encounters with all of God's creation. I mean, there's just really, really cool things that can take place. If you attune yourself to it, if you open your ears to hear, if you open your eyes to see. And that kind of takes me to where I'm going in the message today, maybe kind of, sort of. The title of today's message is Scrubbed. Talking about scrubbing yourself clean. How many of you know we're saved by grace? Right? We're saved by grace, not by the work that we do. Right? But there are some things that we need to do. And I want to kind of challenge us again. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? I'm not putting this major emphasis about, man, you got to keep your salvation, you got to keep your salvation. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're saved.
Amen.
Okay? But it is a responsibility of mine to get you to think about things, right? It's my responsibility as a shepherd, as a pastor, as a man of God, and yours too, right? Your responsibility too is to hold on to the things that are godly and get rid of the stuff that's ungodly.
Amen.
Not because I'm worried about your salvation, but because what we do makes a difference. And if we're not making any kind of difference in this world, then what difference are we than the world? You see, because I'm told that I belong to a new kingdom called the Kingdom of God. And there is a power and principality that is ruling in this world. But we have a gift. Last week, Pastor talked about, he brought up a word, and the word was slave master. And I was meditating on this word slave master. And slave master wants to coerce you on how you should do things. But they're coercing the person that is a slave. And so I started to think about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ calls us a friend. Do you see, as a saved individual, I do things in the kingdom of God not because I'm coerced and have to. I do things in the kingdom of God because Jesus Christ is my friend and I want to.
Yeah.
Do you understand the difference? There's a difference when we have that mindset. See, the grace of God isn't this greasy grace thing. The grace of God, because of God's love and what Jesus did on the cross, makes me want to be better, makes me want to change. It stirs the very inner being of me, the spirit that governs this body, this life, and says, you know what? What you're doing right now isn't really that good. You need to change something. And so it brings conviction. See, people, the Pharisees and everybody, they went against Jesus Christ. They told Jesus, they said, look, you're hanging out with all of these individuals that are horrible. You're hanging out with the prostitute, and you're hanging out with the adulterous person, you're hanging out with the thief, and you're hanging out with the tax collector and these fishermen that aren't learned. And this is what we need to understand. Jesus did befriend all of them. But in the presence of Jesus, they changed. Not Jesus Christ. They changed. And when we get the understanding that when we are in the presence of God, we change. The world is trying to get God to change to their standard. But the church needs to stay in the biblical standard. That is where we have to be. So we go to, here's your encouragement. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But it goes on. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So listen, there is no condemnation to us in Christ Jesus. We're not under this heavy, heavy judgment. But there are consequences for our actions. And that's what we need to keep in mind. So I go to a scripture that many know, and this is one that you'll hear pastors preach during National Day of Prayer and all the time, and especially right now during a turmoil that we have in this country. You hear this all the time, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I was meditating on the scripture, and I have some revelation of it. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God, He removes the judgment. The grace of God has removed the judgment on us. But the grace of God has not removed the consequence. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we're asking God to heal our land. But the healing of this land needs to, it's going to happen when we change our ways. The healing of the land will take place when we aren't doing what the world is doing, because there's still a God of this world. And so we're saying, God, heal our land. And He said, I already did. I sent you a Savior. His name's Jesus Christ. Do you know about Him? Amen. And you go, oh, yeah, I do. He's my friend. I forgot. Well, I want to introduce you again to Jesus Christ, man. He is your friend. And He will bring healing into your life and healing into your family and healing into your marriage and healing over your children and healing over your body. But we can't forget Him. So the grace of God forgives you and saves you. But the grace of God isn't healing this land regarding the consequences of our poor decisions. Our poor decisions need to be transformed. We're 2 days out from an election, and there are some decisions that will be made. And some of these decisions can affect this country for years to come. And people will say things once again, why do you bring this up? Because right now it's an important time to bring it up. And if you can't hear it here, then where are you going to hear it? From the media that is totally opposite, that is anti-God? I don't think so. See, I love God and I love this country, and we have to hear some truths. Until Jesus returns, there is still a God of this world. Until Jesus Christ returns, there is still a God of this world. I'll share some scriptures with you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, small g, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should be shine upon them. So there are people in this world that that are absolutely blinded to the things. And funny enough, I was watching somebody on the news the other day that is anti-Trump and anti-conservative mindset who was saying how we are blinded, trying to flip the script and turn it around. And here's the thing. My eyes are fully open to the death and destruction and devastation. I can see the death, destruction, and devastation, and I can also see the glory of God. So I'm not blinded in any way. The one that can't see the death and destruction that comes from what they're doing, they are the ones that are blinded, and that's what Satan wants from us. And any one of us as Christians can fall into a category where we decide to close our eyes and not listen to the Spirit of God. And it's my job to say, come on, let's not do that. Let's open our eyes, eyes wide open. Our sister in the Lord this morning said, prepare yourself, be ready. Jesus will return, and I have no idea when. But until then, I want to live heaven on earth. And heaven on earth starts with me. It starts with me. Revival starts with me. And if every believer had the understanding that revival starts with you, see, I believe there was some reviving that took place this morning. And you might have to revive yourself over and over again, but it's okay. Do it. And do it anyways. And we go on. John 14:30 says, the ruler of this world has no power over me. This is Jesus speaking. But again, the ruler of this world. So there's a God of this world, a ruler of this world, has no power over Jesus, but he's coming. And so Jesus says, so I won't talk with you much longer. Ephesians 2:2, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So there's a prince in the power of the air, the spirit, small spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you've got this ruler in this world. You've got the small god, the small g of this world. This is all happening right now.
Yes, sir.
This is here right now. And I don't talk about Satan a lot because he has no power over me and I don't want to give him any credit. But I think there's a time that we have to realize and wake up that there is a God of this world, and you need to determine what side you're on. You need to look at yourself and say, where am I living right now? How am I living right now? Am I living for the kingdom of God, or am I living for the world? And when you find yourself making decisions and doing things that you live for the world, you need to question yourself in that and ask the Holy Spirit that's in you to convict you so that you don't continue living that way. If we want to see change in this nation, we need to change. If we want to see change, we need to do what's right, not what's wrong. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God, big G, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Do I need to continue on with scriptures to make it clear? Listen, there's two parties. There's two sides. There's two sides. There's the God of this world, and then there's the kingdom of God, us that live in the kingdom of God. We live in a victorious place. We live in a place where we have been given an authority back to rule and reign in this world where we go. We've heard this before from here, right? From the pulpit, you've heard this before. But we advocate that role when we live according to the world. Doesn't take your salvation away, but you're advocating your role in the kingdom of God when you live like the world. I'm not perfect. But there are things in my life that when I look at it and go, well, I probably should get a little better at that, and my wife tells me, she's like Holy Spirit too, right? I got the inner Holy Spirit, and then I got my wife. But as a man of God, I have to listen to these things, right? I need to listen to these things and evaluate these things and determine whether or not what somebody says or what is convicting me, if it's right or wrong. So I have two people up here. If I have two people up here and this person is a Christian and says, I do not believe in abortion, I believe in protecting the life of the innocent. And then I have another person up here and they say, yes, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I do not believe in abortion. I believe in the protection of those lives. Those babies count. And you ask this person who you're voting for, and they say Trump. And you go, okay. And you ask this person who you're voting for, and they say Biden. This person that says they're voting for Biden but believes not in abortion is not doing the will of God. I don't know how to say it any other way. Listen, listen. I just want to be real. I just want to be real. I'm not talking about, man, you know, if you mess up, you're going to hell and stuff like that. But life can be so much better here when we make decisions that protect the innocent. Yes. And if you're going the other direction because you don't like somebody, then you've forgotten which the platform on what they stand for. And the platform for what they stand for is the protection of life and the protection of family and the protection of religious freedom. If you don't care about any of that, then sooner than later, we will lose that. We will lose our ability to meet on a Sunday. Or maybe we'll be able to meet on a Sunday. I want this to be very clear. Right now, there is a persecution against the church, specifically. I had somebody call me the other day, and they were frantic, and they were saying, you know, I was watching somebody, and they went to the courthouse to vote or something. They went to the courthouse, and somebody was outside, and they were burning the American flag. And they were also burning Bibles. And this person who went was a preacher, and he asked them, he said, well, why are you burning the American flag? And they said, because his government needs to change. And they said, well, why are you burning the Bibles? And they said, because it starts with the church. There is one side, that's what they believe. You can vote for them if you want, but you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God in that manner. I can't be any clearer than that. That's just the way it is. The others, I'm going to go on. There is a difference between authority and ruler. Authority, in the simplest of definition, is the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. That is the simple definition of authority. The power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Ruler simply is a person exercising government or dominion. And so in the garden, we were given dominion over all of God's creation, and we lost that. When Jesus Christ came back and died for our sin, we gained it back. But it wasn't the rulership necessarily that we gained back. It was the authority that we gained back. Let me explain to you. So Satan is the governmental rule over the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? Satan is the governmental rule over the world. So what they have, he has this dominion over the world. But our government that rules in us as believers is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit governs us in the kingdom of God. So you've got the small spirit, the small g, the ruler of this world, governing the world. What they're going to do, what they're going to say, how they're going to act, what's okay, what's normal versus biblical. We have a governing authority called the Holy Spirit that convicts us on what we're going to do, what we're going to say, how we're going to act, how we're going to live in the kingdom of God. Again, we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. You've been transposed. You've been changed. You are no longer who you used to be in Christ Jesus. But we need to remember these things. Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, when Jesus came near, he spoke to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And we received the Holy Spirit that gave Jesus Christ this authority, right? The authority has been given back to us. Luke 10:17-19 says, the 70 disciples came back very happy. They said, Lord, even demons obey us when we use the power and authority of your name. Jesus, there's power in that name. And Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to destroy the enemy's power. Nothing will hurt you. So I don't stand afraid. I don't stand afraid of what's going to happen in this country or anything like that, because whatever happens, I still know I have an authority. I still know that I am victorious in Christ Jesus. My encouragement is to do your part. The title of today's message, like I said, is Scrubbed. When I was a medic in the Army, there was a guy who came in and his hand was severely burned. And being a medic, the doctor, he says, all right, you know, what I need you to do is I need you to pop the blister and then take scissors and cut that burnt skin away. And so his whole hand was burnt, and the whole entire backside of his hand, this whole area was a big blister, and it stood up about 3 inches. It was just that big, and it was fluid-filled. And I don't tell you that to gross you out. I'm just trying to give an example of how significant this was. And so, being, I don't know, 20 years old, 19 years old, something like that, I took scissors and all of my cool medic training, right, of 10 weeks, and I started cutting away this burnt skin. And as I'm cutting it away, it's exposing all of this raw negative, or I shouldn't say negative is not the right word, this raw, very sensitive skin. Sensitive is the right word. So almost the whole top of his hand is now exposed to this fresh meat, like he was skinned almost, right? Literally. Put some Silvadine cream on it, washed it, of course, put Silvadine cream on it, dressed it. But here were his orders. His orders were to come back every day and get his hand scrubbed clean. And so every day he would come in, and every day I would unwrap his hand, and I'd get this Betadine sponge, and it had a sponge on one side and it had these soft bristles on the other side. And I said, so doctor, what do you want me to do? And he says, scrub it till it bleeds. And I said, scrub it till it bleeds. He says, yeah, we've got to make sure there's no bacteria, no infection will come in, and we've got to make sure that that new skin will eventually grow. So every day this guy would come in and scrub it till it bleeds, scrub it till it bleed. He thought initially that the burn was bad. The burn wasn't bad. I mean, this guy every day, he woke up dreading having to come to the aid station, man, because I was going to unwrap it and I was going to scrub it till it bled. And that's horrible, man. But it had to be cleaned. There's a difference between washing your hands and scrubbing your hands. And I think the shaking that's taking place in the church is the church needs to scrub a little bit. I'm not telling anybody they have to leave or anything like that. I'm saying, but we need to check our hearts, man. Not because it's going to make God love us more. I don't want you to misunderstand me. But because it's going to make our life and the lives around us better for the kingdom of God. When you want to talk about being a servant to others, sometimes it means you got to do some hard evaluations of yourself. And you got to do some hard evaluations of what you've been allowing into your life. So we need to clean some things up, maybe. Maybe it's just me. Maybe only I have to clean some things up. I also remember walking the swamp. I remember land navigation. I was a peer instructor for land navigation. And the best thing for land navigation for me is I used to love, they called it beat the bush. I used to love to shoot an azimuth and just go straight into it no matter what was in my way. So if it was chest deep swamp water or if it was briars, whatever, I just went straight through and I stayed on track. And I remember going through the swamp in North Carolina, and man, just nasty. Just nasty. You see, there's no moving water in the swamp. It's just stagnant. Stuff that breeds water moccasins and mosquitoes. Just, there's life there in the swamp, but the life is pretty rough. And it smelt. It was stanky. We need to scrub some things out of our lives with moving water. Maybe you need to wash yourself with the washing of the water of the Word. Over and over and over again. You see, you may have a right to do something, but is it right? If you don't get anything out of my message today, I hope you get this. You may have a right to do something, but is it right? I right now could go and divorce my wife. Is it right? I have the right. I could divorce her and I could go find a guy and get married to a guy. I have the right. That's not self-proclaimed prophecy. Stop. But hear what I'm saying. I have the right, but is it right? You can say and speak vulgar language. You have the right to do that. But is it right? You could beat your child. You have the right to do that. But is it right? If you're 21 years of age, you can go to the store, buy alcohol, and get drunk. You have the right to do that. But is it right? You can live with someone out of wedlock. You have the right to do that. But is it right? You can have sex outside of marriage. You have the right to do that. But is it right? Do you hear what I'm saying, guys? There's a lot of things that we do that we have the world's right to do, but is it right? And I'm not going to tell you whether or not it's right or not. You need to determine. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Because if I tell you, then it's not going to be conviction. When the Holy Spirit tells you, then it's conviction. See, you can tell me to change all day long, but until the Holy Spirit convicts me, I'm not going to change. You have the right to do something, but is it right? Matthew 27, 24. Pilate saw, this is Pontius Pilate, Pilate saw that he was not getting anywhere. Instead, a riot was breaking out. So Pilate took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, I won't be guilty of killing this man. Do what you want. We cannot be Pontius Pilate. We cannot be that Christian that just washes their hands and says, you guys do what you want. Me and Jesus are good. Jesus and I are good over here. You guys do what you want. We can't be that if we want to see, if we want to see God come back. If you want to see the church set on fire, then the church needs to get set on fire. There needs to be a little bit of a spark. There needs to be something that happens where we get ablaze again. Amen. It's not because we're righteous in everything we do. We're right with God because of what Jesus did. But there are actions that take place and there's consequences in this land because the Christians have been silent. And we have to speak up. You can be one of three people in this scenario. You could be Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands and says, I don't want to be guilty of anything you guys just do. See, part of what, see, he said, I don't want to be guilty, but he was guilty. He was guilty of doing nothing. The only thing for evil to continue is for good men to do nothing. Or women. Now, you could be, or the in the crowd. Now, the ones in the crowd, you got some yelling, crucify him! And you got others, they're probably saying, no mercy. Think of the disciples. Mercy. Mercy. But we have to determine who we're going to be. Are you going to be for Christ? Or do you want to kill him again? See, you can't kill him again, but do you want to kill him again? Do you want to just keep crucifying him? What was that song, PK? I don't want to abuse your grace. I don't want to abuse your grace. We're saved by grace, but I don't want to abuse his grace. I don't want to abuse the grace of God. There's a conviction in me that says, man, got to do something. I can't just wash my hands. I need to cleanse my mind and my heart. I need to scrub my mind and my heart. If I hate somebody, I need to scrub the hatred out. If I'm unforgiveness towards somebody, I need to scrub the unforgiveness out. I need to do the right thing. Not because I have a right, because it is right. Galatians 5:7 says, you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? He's talking to believers. Paul is writing this talking to believers. You did run well, but now who's hindering you from obeying the truth? And then he goes on in verse 13, for brethren, we have been called unto freedom, unto liberty. Only don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but love and serve one another. If you wash your hands and just say whatever happens, happens, then how are you loving and serving? How are you standing for the life of the innocent? How are you standing for the religious freedoms of all religions in this country? But how are you standing for it? How are you standing for the marriage vows that are taken between man and wife? How are you standing for the sanctity of family? If you just say, do whatever, I don't have to say anything or do anything. It's me and Jesus, we're good. Isaiah 59:19-21. And I'll close here and let you guys out of here so that you can go to restaurants and give your name and phone number. Freedom. Isaiah 59. So shall they fear. This is God's word. God speaks. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Here you go. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. A standard against him. And the Redeemer, everybody say Jesus. Jesus. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, the church, and unto them that turn from their transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. This is God saying this. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of the seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. In other words, there was a change that took place in them. The standard, depending on what you read and the commentaries you read about it, when I read the standard, the simple thing is I say, you know, there's always a standard operating procedure. The very standard thing that you should be doing. This is the way it should be done type stuff. When the enemy came in like a flood, God raised up a standard. The Hebrew word for standard is nous, N-O-O-S. And it means vanish, away, escape, deliver, put to flight. When the enemy came in like a flood, he raised up a standard and they were put to flight. They had to leave. They had to vanish. They cannot win. They are powerless against you in Christ. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. A standard is also a banner, a military flag, a battle standard. It helps the soldier identify friend or enemy. It's also the thing that was the crest in the times of the Crusades and the family crest that was on the flag. It was their battle flag, their standard, their banner. Over 2,000 years ago, the Lord God Almighty raised up a standard, his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And he did that for you. He did it so that you do not have to live a wasted life. He did it so that you will be victorious. He did it so that you will have relationship with him. He did it so that you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did it so that you have authority back in this land. He did it so the powers and principalities of darkness cannot hurt you. He did it so that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He did it for you, and he did it because he loves you. Some of you have made decisions, but in 2 days, many of you have to make a decision. We need to stand on the thing that's right. We need to stand for righteousness. We need to stand, not because God needs us to, but the people around you do. How can you be the light if you live in darkness? We have to live in the light, and we be the light. Be the light. Scrub your minds. In Jesus' name. Father, we've had an encounter with you this morning. For those that are watching, we know, Lord, that they miss the worship. But Father, you have laid things out today. You have laid out the word that says that all we have to do is breathe in and ask the Holy Spirit into our lives. Father, if there's anyone here that has not asked for the breath of God, the Spirit of God to be breathed into them, Father, I pray that they just receive it now. If there's anybody watching that has not invited the Holy Spirit to come into their life, I pray that they invite Him now. If there's anybody here or watching that does not know you, Jesus Christ, the very standard that has been raised against the enemy, the very thing, the very epitome of love, if they have not accepted you, Jesus, I pray that they would just ask you to come into their life, knowing that you will forgive them of their sin as far as the east is from the west, and that they at that moment will be made new. They will be transformed, not of this world anymore, but of a kingdom far greater. Father, I ask that you would bless each and every one here, those that watch this. Father, I pray that you protect them and protect their families from COVID-19, from the flu, and every virus that is out there right now, Lord. Father, I thank you. You do rebuke the devourer. I thank you that you do love your children. And I thank you that we can call you friend. Father, I pray that relationship with you will continue to grow. And I pray, God, that you will continue to pour out your Spirit and that you will show signs and wonders to believers and unbelievers, Lord, that would come to know you. In Jesus' glorious name. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And no matter what happens, Father, we love you and we love this great country. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.